Okay, well, I've just been saying during this time, and if you didn't get the message last night, I encourage you to get it. It very powerfully opens up the whole realm we're talking about. And tonight I want to pick up and we'll overlap a little bit with where Pastor Wes was this afternoon. I want to talk about how to recognize a Jezebelic attack on you and then what to do about it. And then if you've been overcome, what to do about that as well. Because you just do need to know. And then in the end, we want to, this is your chance to step up and push back. Because there's no use just getting teaching and not doing anything with it. You just get a head full of information. You actually got to make response. And it's when we make response, something shifts in our life. And so I open up this morning a whole range of ways, the tentacles, how Jezebel gains access to our life. And some of you would know, that was me, that was me, that was me. There were one or two said, bingo, got all 10 or whatever it was. And but I want you tonight to step up for a breakthrough from those things. So I'm going to take you through some steps in prayer, because I want you to get out of the thinking, I need a man of God to put hands on me before the change happens. There's got to be something in you says, I'm sick of living under this thing that God gave me authority over, and I've just been wrecked and hurt and damaged and robbed, and I'm living under it. I want you to arise and stand up. It's your stepping up. You know, Jesus spoke to blind Bartimaeus, and they said to him, arise, he's calling you, and he stood up and threw off the garment that was his identity as a beggar, as a victim. He had no intention of going back. He came to Jesus with expectation of a breakthrough. Now, I know that we'll talk about tomorrow process that you've got to walk through and follow, but tonight I'm looking for breakthroughs for people. And I know when the power of God comes on people, you can be just set free of stuff very, very quickly. But rather than, you know, being the victim and then needing someone to rescue, I want you to choose. In any way that I have compromised, any way I've tolerated, I repent of that. I'm standing up and not living that life anymore. That's when the shift will take place. Because if you get a breakthrough tonight and haven't resolved to no longer tolerate the Spirit, you will find yourself tolerating it again. It's the, I'm sick of this. I've had enough. I want to stand up into where I'm supposed to live in Christ. That's what will make the difference. And I believe God will put an anointing out tonight that is going to set many, many people free. You don't need to have hours of this and that. An encounter with God can shift things over your life dramatically. So I will lead you through some steps. And I want you to participate wholeheartedly and then not come up to me for special prayer afterwards. What is that? Now, I understand. I get it. But please don't do that tonight. Tonight I want you to believe for the breakthrough. Now, will we lay hands on people? Of course we will. But that's, I don't want you to be looking for that. I want you to look for the encounter with God where the power comes over us and we start to break out. And you break out and you can shout and yell and jump and run, do whatever you like. You know, I don't really mind, because part of freedom, you know, part of freedom is that we express it. You know, I'm old. Now, don't be old tonight. You know, you can be old tomorrow in the morning, but tonight, just do something that's beyond what you've done. And so I'm going to take you through the steps, and we want to, first of all, break passivity. Then I want to lead you into declaration of faith. Then I want to lead you into declaration of repentance and alignment. And then we're going to begin to shout to the Lord. And then I'll stand in apostolic office and speak to break stuff that's been operating in the Spirit. You saw I did it Friday night. The atmosphere went, boom, shifted like that. Suddenly I could hardly stand up here. The presence of God was so strong. But tonight it's not just about releasing that. It's about you getting set free. So there'll be all kinds of stuff. You want to scream, you can scream. You want to yell, you can yell. You know, tonight is freedom night for you, okay? And we'll do some more stuff tomorrow. But I want to just set it so you're to set the expectation for how it will be tonight. Amen? Yep. Oh, listen up. It's always for someone else, isn't it? I know, but it is for you tonight. Okay, you're here tonight. It's for you. Okay. So we want to speak tonight on recognizing and overcoming a Jezebelic attack. And just to recap again, we saw that the realm of the Spirit, we see that God is omnipresent, therefore God can be everywhere, and the Holy Spirit is connected to each one of us because that's God. God can do that. God is really can do that. And not only that, when the Holy Spirit accesses our life, He works on our inner life to conform us to become like Christ, and He empowers us to reflect the nature of Christ so we become Christ-like representatives of our Father. And we saw that the spirit realm of the devil is really quite different and quite an inferior realm. See, a lot of people think it's really big and really this and that and whatever, but it isn't. In the book of Revelation, it says God just gives a word, angel, and He just cleans up the devil and all his cohorts and locks them up in a box. So there's no kind of God and the devil are fighting it out and it's pretty close and we have no idea, you know, who's winning. It's not like that at all. God has a plan He's outworking of growing sons and daughters who are mature and overcomers and have learned to step up and overcome the Spirit. And at the right time, He can put them all in a box and lock them up for 1,000 years. So there's no battle here. So the devil is really quite restricted because he can't be everywhere at one time. He can only be in one place. Yeah. And because he's only one place, that means he's got to work through people. And so he has a network, a hierarchy of spirits we saw last night. There's a hierarchy like an army all structured like that. And it's not even original. He's like looked at what God did and said, we'll make that because that's what God did pretty good. We'll do the same. So he'd done the same. And then he's got, it goes down in ranks until it ends up with little wee things that harass you. Well, come on, that's really what it's about. And so it's important that we recognize that we're dealing with invisible beings which are connected in the spirit to a power. Jezebel then is a spirit, a principality. It's a major demonic being. And of course, its role is opposite to the Holy Spirit. Its role is to conform you to become antichrist. Yeah. Its role is to establish you as a slave, not as a son. Yeah, that's right. So wherever it's operating, wherever the Jezebelic power is operating and given room to operate, you'll have a whole group of slaves, not sons, children of God. That's the fruit of it. Whereas if the Holy Spirit is free to work, He'll raise up mature people who carry responsibility and step up. So tonight, I don't want you to remain in a slave and a victim-like mentality. I want you to step up. Okay, we're getting the idea. All right then, so that was just get us started. All righty, so let's have a little wee look there in 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 1 and 2. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. You've never seen anything like this. You ought to see what happened today. And he tells on the whole story of all the drama that went on, the mocking of the prophets of Baal, how fire came from heaven, and there was just a horrendous thing happened. There was fire. God answered Elijah, didn't answer the other prophets. Then they were put to shame in front of everyone. Then Elijah stirred the crowd up, and the crowd came and murdered them all. Oh, it's a very exciting thing. He came, told her everything. And she was very happy. This is a great day. The Lord has prevailed. No, it wasn't said. It says this. It said, so Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, may the God strike me down. She's put a self-curse and even kill me. Oh, my goodness. If by this time tomorrow I haven't killed you just as I killed them. Well, of course, if you look at that and follow that through, she didn't end up killing Elijah and she herself died. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, notice then, she sent a message. She sent a message. So the principality of Jezebel works with messengers. It actually has two kinds of messengers, demonic messengers. So you may have direct encounters with demonic spirits. When you directly encounter them, you are aware you're in a direct encounter because it's very scary. I had one almost very soon after I was a Christian. Just got filled with the Holy Ghost. Came in and got invited for lunch with Duncan Graham. We went home that night, went to bed a bit late, and suddenly this demon walks and stands at the end of the bed. I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. Best I could do was just, I couldn't speak, couldn't move, couldn't do anything. All I could do was yell out of my head, Jesus! I couldn't even breathe. I felt like I was going to die. Joy woke up. She started praying. And then I just turned on the light. I didn't know what to do. So I opened the Bible. I had a Bible there. There's a Bible in here somewhere. And got it out and read Psalm 23. I thought, that's the best I can do. And then I said, this is real. We got to learn how to handle spirit stuff and never be intimidated again. And that started us on the journey. So Jezebel's messengers are demonic spirits that directly attack us. They shift the atmosphere so it becomes tight and hard. They overwhelm you with feelings of confusion and sometimes with dread. I'll come back to that. When one of those spirits is operating against you, you can wake up and have an atmosphere where you just feel sick in your stomach with a dread of what's about to happen, but you've got no idea what's about to happen. There's nothing you can see, nothing visible. There is something in the spirit. They can overwhelm you so much that you cannot even sense in any way the presence of God. So demonic attacks by that spiritual power through minor stuff. They can cause quite significant distress to you if you don't understand what it is. Now, here's the problem. Some people live under those spirits, tolerate those spirits, and never put up a fight. Well, that's not good. You don't have to be like that. You've got to put up a fight, see? Okay, so but here's where mostly it happens. Mostly the messengers of Jezebel are people. See, mostly the messengers of God are people. And the devil just copies it. So remember, everything that God does, he just tries to counterfeit it. Holy Spirit shaping sons and daughters, empowering them to reveal Christ and be like Christ. Spirit of Jezebel shaping them to be slaves and to reveal Antichrist and to be independent and intolerant and hateful and spiteful and bitter and angry and lustful and blah, 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 blah. You understand? They're just quite a part. What do you see that? You realize, oh, man. So God, when he wants to do something in the earth, works through people. So Jezebel, when it wants to do something in the earth, it wants to work through people. So people who have yielded to that spirit and didn't even know that's what they were yielding to, because they're lovely Christians, happen to be deacons, been serving on the board for years, opposing everything that God's trying to do in the name of the Lord. They work through those kinds of people. They work through people who have tolerated them in their life, who don't realize they're entangled. And they don't realize that the thoughts that are so strong and the emotions are so strong are actually coming out of the spirit realm and filling their life so it feels like them. And they get stirred and they get offended and they get angry and so they carry the message. So it could be just as simple as, well, you realize, Pastor, everyone in the church is unhappy with what you're doing. Everyone, see? And you hear the word everyone. See, they never tell you who it is. Well, who is everyone? Lots of people are saying. You understand? They work through people. And so they carry a message, but not a message of life, a message that brings fear and intimidation and death, because that is the nature of Jezebel. So when people come to you intimidating, they're a channel for a spirit. They're manifesting and allowing a spirit to speak and work through them. So when we saw earlier on, we saw that Jezebel, 2 Kings 9, surrounded herself with eunuchs. Well, you know what a eunuch is, don't you? Well, you do. Of course you do. Well, I'm going to be careful.
Two large rocks.
Kaduka! Yes. It's someone who has been emasculated, no ability to produce life, has become feminine. So the eunuchs that surrounded Jezebel, the eunuchs, they're almost transgender. They have an appearance of a man and a woman. Isn't that interesting? The gods that Jezebel served, the Queen of Heaven, or Ashtaroth, was known as the god that turned men into women and women into men. How about that? So those who are like that, now just get at what it looks like, they are people who are weak. They were people who don't have a strong spirit life. They're people who not have a strong inner life and inner prayer life. They're people who are got rejection in their lives. people have never dealt with their rejection, and so they've been drawn into the comforts of Jezebel, and they've usually been seduced into all kinds of things. They've got lots of compromises going on. They're not a voice, they're an echo. They echo what Jezebel says to them. So they were in her bedchamber, they were at her table, and they become her messengers. So Jezebel usually just sends people to speak to you and to intimidate, threaten, or manipulate you in some kind of way. They actually work through people and the voices of people. Now, don't go around looking and try to judge every person. You'll know pretty easily whether one's come against you. I'll show you why, because you'll see what happens. Okay, so what is the message that they bring? Well, it's a message that carries something in the spirit. So when Jezebel comes and attacks you through people, you feel what is being said. It's a message filled with hatred and murder. It's filled with rejection. It's filled with a desire for you to be out of here because what you're doing is a problem to the kingdom of Jezebel. There's always a reaction when you start to push against the kingdom of Jezebel. It will react in some way. Someone will be extremely angry with you. Someone will really become very disturbed and get angry, raise voices against you, accuse you, come against you in a strong way that actually, if you're a normal person, you get a bit shocked by how intense it is. And you've got to know what to do, because if you don't do the right thing or don't handle it well, you'll end up on a downward track. And so notice there, the goal is to destroy the anointing, to destroy all prophets, to destroy true worship. So the goal of the spiritual attack is to shut you down and get you to withdraw from the appointment God has given you. You've got to understand that. It's when you're in the will of the Lord, the assignment of the Lord, you are anointed and empowered. And so the work of Jezebel, or the spirit of Jezebel, will be to get you out of your assignment, out of the church God placed you in, out of the role God put you in, out of the office He's given you in the Spirit. That's what it'll be seeking to do. And I'm going to show you in a moment what happens, and you can actually see a progression. You know, the Bible gives glimpses of the spirit world through these stories, but this story gives an unusual glimpse at when the Spirit attacks, what not to do. So in other words, it just tells someone's failure and the consequences of the failure, and then it says, now read the Bible and don't do what they did. Okay, and of course, I was just reading the other day, I read a bit of an article, and it was by Robert Summers, and he was talking about the signs of stress that come on you when you're under Jezebelic attack. I looked at it and thought, oh, exhausted for no reason. Gain weight rapidly. Can't wake up even though you've had 8 hours sleep. Consistent colds and flu. Feeling overwhelmed. Can't cope. You know, panic attacks, anxiety attacks, stressy, but you're not sure why. Can't concentrate, you're confused. And of course, you start to crave junk food. Chocolate. This is just craving for junk food or whatever. Anything with a high sugar thing, or you crave coffee. You have coffee. You need a pickup. I need a pickup. But you're not realizing actually this is stress because of the environment that you've entered of warfare. It can be that there's reduced or no sex drive, absolutely none whatsoever, because there's a stress in your body. It can be poor digestion, so you get bloating and gas, all kinds of stuff. Insomnia, you can't sleep. You go to bed, but you can't sleep. You're in a warfare. You may have fibromyalgia, which is, you know, pain, chronic pain. You may have thyroid issues. Your thyroid's not functioning. Your energy level goes down. You can have arthritis. You may have inflammatory diseases. Now, he said that these are indications that you are under prolonged stress because of demonic attack. Look at the next page. I want to look at that. I had too many symptoms. Well, not now, but I had then when I was under attack. I had, like all apostles do, they actually, because they're called to front up and deal with this thing, they all have their wars, which are very intense. And so you find that when people have been in apostolic ministry or an apostolic call, they have this warfare that no one knows about, and it has massive effects. Affects your body. It can affect every area of your life. Affects your marriage, affects your finances, your family, your ministry, unexpected things, but does stress the body as well. And so sometimes the problems people have are related to prolonged stress, and they never realize that what it was. It's just the stress of being in warfare. Ooh, it gets real quiet on me. Ooh. Okay, you know that. It's just exactly what it's like. And it's horrendous. And so when I'm in that warfare, I can't sleep. Sometimes I wake, I just have the shortest nights in the world. I can't sleep. Got to wake up early, wide awake, and feel like I'm something's, I got to get up into prayer or got to get up into the Word or something like that. It's just, there's an environment I'm in which is a highly warlike environment. Puts stress on the body. So you just need to recognize. Anyway, that's not where I want to go. That's just a side thing I found out the other day. I threw that in, just I thought it'd be quite good. So here's the pattern of the attack. Here's the pattern that takes place. 1 Kings 19, verse 2, and I'll show it step by step what happens. Every step is important because if you don't want to come under the attack, you've got to do exactly the opposite to what he did. And Jesus did that. So here's the first thing. Number one, the attack begins. Someone comes and they're having a go at you. Maybe there's a group of them. And it may come in all kinds of different ways. It may come just before you minister, which is crushing. They don't realize how sensitive you are just before you minister. And that phone call and attack that came just before the ministry, everyone else says, oh, glory to God. And you're thinking, I can barely stand. I can barely breathe. How am I going to get up and minister? And then when you get up, the anointing comes and you're fine. And afterwards, you're messy again. So sometimes it comes just before. Sometimes it comes just after you've ministered. And it's often unexpected. And it catches you really by surprise unless you recognize it for what it is. And when you get attacked like that, there's fear comes, enormous fear. I mean, I never realized what a fearful person I was until I got to ministry and the stuff that would happen. It's unbelievable. So you had to actually deal with the fears, and it's like a constant journey. So the first thing is that verbal attack seems to overwhelm you initially because it's releasing a spirit of fear and intimidation and hatred against you. The next thing that happens in the progression, 1 Kings 19, verse 3, when he saw that, he arose, ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, I'm going to pull all of that apart. When he saw that, that word means to perceive. When he perceived the threat to his life. When he gave attention to it, it means to give attention to it. When he looked intently at it. In other words, when he made this his focus. When he made the attacker's focus, confusion came around. Remember we found that Jezebel, the god she worshipped, originated in Babylon. So there's confusion. And so what happens? It distorted his perspective. So when a demonic attack comes, the thing that comes with it is a spirit of fear and intimidation that distorts your perspective. Now, we talked about that with the COVID, how 2 years of messages about COVID, which are filled with fear and things like, it will hunt you down. It will seek you out. Think, well, what kind of talk is that from a leader? My goodness. It's just designed to intimidate and frighten people. I know what to do. I'll lock the door, shut the window. No one comes near me. The whole church goes into hiding. Everyone goes into a cave. That's exactly where Elijah ended up, in a cave, and I'm not coming out. And that's what a lot of the churches become like that. They've lost boldness, lost confidence, drawn back. And it's just a demonic attack. Now, I'm not saying there weren't real concerns, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't have been reasonable boundaries and appropriate measures. But what I'm concerned about is the release of a spirit of fear. Right. And believe me, this is not the end of it. There'll be something will follow because it works. It intimidates people. They withdraw. They withdraw from what God called them to do. See? So the first thing is the attack. The second thing is the confusion and loss of perspective. And when you lose perspective, you forget how big God is. You get distorted. And you see that in his statements later on in 1 Kings 19 and verse 10. He said, oh, I alone am left. I alone am the one who's faithful to the Lord. Everyone else has abandoned God. And God just said, no, that's really not true. I got 7,000 didn't bow to Baal and kiss the ring. You understand? His perspective is distorted. In other words, the problems are magnified and he feels like, I'm the only one going through this. You don't understand. Have you ever heard people say that? Well, you're not the only one going through that. The Bible's very clear. There's no temptation overtaken you that's not common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And God is faithful. He'll stick by you and he will provide with the pressure problem a way of escape that you can bear it. So his way of escape is not to jump on a plane or train or go somewhere, hide out somewhere. His thing is that you can bear it, stand up and come out the other side and you're stronger. Amen. It's actually meant to make you stronger. It's meant to make you stronger. So if you lose sight of God in it, now you're in a mess. And that's the key point that you've got to make decisive action. Because if you don't at that point, what happens next is what will happen to you. So what happened next? Let's follow the steps through. So there's distorted perspective. Okay. And here it is. He lost faith, lost focus. Now what you focus on, you open your life to. So if you focus on everything that's wrong and shift away from God and his assignment, it's like, hello, God didn't realize this. God didn't see this coming up. Really? You mean God, who saw your weakness and yet put you in the job and called you, couldn't see that down the road on this particular date you would face this? You mean he didn't see that coming? Didn't see it coming. It's like Adam falling. When God said, you know, where are you? He's not saying, well, I didn't see that coming. Where's he hidden? He sees it all. He has provided a way of escape that comes with the situation. But the devil will get you to focus on the circumstances and the potential bad outcomes and not on God and his power and will and desire to bring you through. So your focus shifts away from God and my assignment to now, how can I manage the problem I've got in front of me? Run, lean into God. We start to, oh my goodness, this is dreadful. This is awful, see? And so feelings of anxiety and fear begin to overwhelm us. We start to feel a bit sick in our stomach. I've had that feeling of dread. And then all the past victories, oh well, they don't feel like anything. I mean, all the times that God got you, got a breakthrough, and you've got a whole track record of all these years of breakthroughs, they seem like nothing. They've all fallen away. There's just this. It just preoccupies you. That's the problem. Okay, so here's the next thing he did. He withdrew from responsibility. He withdrew from his office and assignment. Now, this is serious. This is serious because the assignment God gives you, the responsibility God gives you, is a realm of authority goes with it. He gives you enough authority in that office to manage everything that will come up. The authority is attached to the responsibility, the office. See, an office is a position or a ranking that you occupy. So, for example, a simple example, the Bible says of the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the man is head of the woman, God is the head of Christ. There's a ranking and there are offices of authority. So to be a husband is an office that has responsibilities attached to it. And there is a spiritual authority and power attached to it. So if the man will stand up, even though he feels weak and inadequate, and assume the responsibilities, God will empower him because he's taken up his office and give him all he needs to help him fulfill it. When a man draws back from responsibility, he draws back from his office, and now he loses authority. He has no power to stand, and the demons that have come against him now occupy the office and use it against him. Now you can see that in Adam. Adam was given authority and dominion over the earth when he sinned, when he drew back from what God assigned him to do. He didn't protect his garden. He didn't protect his wife. He didn't speak up. He allowed it all to happen. When he did that, he lost his office and demons filled it and used it against mankind ever since. Yeah. That is the principle in Genesis. So I have observed that when people abandon their office, their assignment, their calling, the devil comes against them with a vengeance. Yeah. And he doesn't stop if you run. He doesn't stop. Why is that? You think if you run, you'll be safe? You will not be safe. You are now, because you left your responsibility, you are out of a place of divine alignment. You're out of a place of empowerment. You have now become incredibly vulnerable. And I have worked with people who've been called into various ministries. And I've observed over years a similar pattern, that if an attack comes on them spiritually and they quit, the attack doesn't stop when they quit. The attack pursues them. It pursues them even if they leave town. It pursues them even if they go to another country, because there's a reason for that. I had a young couple, and they were in our church. They went to another church because I didn't promote them, because it was a character issue. And then the other church raised them up and sent them out, and I felt a bit chipped about that. I thought, well, maybe I'm just a pretty hopeless pastor. I couldn't do that. You know, you go through all that kind of stuff. Anyway, but in the deep of my heart, I thought, well, actually, I know there's a character thing. This is going to go into troubles, but I'll believe the best and pray for them anyway. Sure enough, 18 months, they had great, you hear these great stories, and then 18 months later, there's a massive problem, and then they withdrew. They left their role, they left their thing, they came back to our city, and I got to meet the wife and the children. And I said to her this, I said, look, that warfare against you did not stop when you shifted city. This is not just about you. You stood up in the kingdom under the call of God. It was about God's representative standing to advance the kingdom. This is about God, not about you. And so when the devil overthrows you, he's basically saying to God, this person you appointed, you couldn't even keep him in the role. And you watch what I'm going to do to them now. And they follow them and attack them with condemnation, with all sorts of temptations. I said, you need to recognize what happened to you was spiritual warfare. You've got to regain your authority and positioning in the spirit, or you will have worse problems come next. You will have troubles in your marriage and troubles with your children, troubles with your finances. Because the devil wants to destroy every trace that you could have been even considered for a call of God. He wants to prove to God he can't succeed with people like you. And sure enough, within the year, the marriage had blown up. There's a problem with one of the children with drugs. And next thing, there's prisons. All kinds of things have happened. And there's finally been a good solution. There's been some movement. But the problems with the husband have continued. Now, I've seen that more than once. And so I've learned that if you draw back, you feel like I'll be safer if I get out of this hot spot, but what is going to come next will be worse. The only place that's safe is standing in the call of God and holding your ground. At least if you do that, even if you think, I got nothing in me, dear God, I'm so frail, even a puff of wind will blow me over, nevertheless, God will be with you. Never quit. Never quit. Getting the idea? I'm here because I found if you never quit, you win. If you just hang on, you break through. You just don't quit. You just keep getting up and doing the things you were doing. You draw on God for strength, and that's the only way you can hang on. You've got to arise in prayer, and I'll show you exactly what sorts of things you need to do. But you arise in prayer. I've been beaten down into the pulp in the ground. They say, that's it. He's finished. Next day, I'm back up again. I'm into it again. I say, how did that happen? Because the power, the resurrection power of Christ was able to lift me up again. So he made a serious mistake when he withdrew. And so when you withdraw from your assignment, you withdraw from your office and responsibility, it'll cause you to lose authority. Next thing that happens, it says he ran for his life. See? He ran. Next thing he did, he ran. Now he physically ran, but people withdraw in their heart. They just withdraw in their heart. So they could be, a husband can be at home and he's still there and everything's going on. But in his heart, he stepped back and then the weight fell on his wife. Or he's in leadership and he draws back and he's no longer engaging in prayer and engaging in what's needed. He's still got the role. It looks like he's there, but he isn't there. He's run away. And there's lots of people run away. There's a lot of men running away from their responsibilities to lead their houses in prayer, to lead their homes in worship, to lead their families to pray. That's why we've got the problems. Hello? That's why we've got the problems. It's the lack of fathers. I'm not having a go at men. I'm a man. I've had to face this and journey through it and realize that I was a slacker and needed to repent and get my act together. And I had to find God and look for someone to model what it would look like. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. So here's what happened next. I've been here. I remember drawing back. Here's what happens next. The thing was, you notice there, he left his servant. He became isolated. He isolated himself. He left his servant. And so he became isolated emotionally and relationally. He left his servant. So he just withdrew. And so what happens when you're under demonic pressure, it's easy to withdraw from your responsibility, and then the next thing you'll do, because you're no longer in the fight, now you withdraw relationally. You withdraw from the conflict. You withdraw and isolate relationally. You shut down and you don't talk to anyone. Now, you may not have run away physically, but in terms of relational connection, you just shut down emotionally. Emotions have shut down. Feelings have shut down. Communication shuts down. Talk to me, Henry! No, there's silence from Henry. He shut down. Shut down on the inside. And that shutdown is a huge breach in the marriage now. And when people isolate like that emotionally and relationally, they're in bad condition because God says it's not good for man to be alone. When you isolate and shut down like that, you are now a prime target now for the devil to tempt you and put false comforts in your way. Come on, it's a progression. It's a progression. It doesn't stop. You notice the problem didn't stop when he withdrew. It kept going. Next thing, he's let go of fellowship relationship. Have you seen people under attack? They just get further and further back in the church. They start off, they're up there, yay, 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 pastor, yay, yay, yay. Now they're offended, now they're under attack. Oh, no more yays, just sitting further down there. And then you see them about 5-10 rows back. Hello, where are they this Sunday? They've gone. What happened? They're withdrawing. Sick sheep withdraw. It's just what happens. When you withdraw, something is wrong. Face it and resolve it rather than withdraw. Now, there's strategic withdrawal where you take a break to actually re-get your things back together. We're talking about just giving up altogether. And it's a real problem. So isolation is a major signal of malfunction. And it leads to a downward spiral. Next thing that happens, he said, look at this, it's all progressive, look at it. And then he said he went a day's journey into the wilderness. He said, I'm out of here. I'm going doing this, fishing, I'm going fishing, going this, going that, whatever. Nothing wrong with those things and except it's a comfort and trying to withdraw from what you're doing. You know, to recover, that's another thing, but to withdraw. He says he came and he sat down under the broom tree. Now, in other words, to sit down. He sat down means he became passive, inactive, there's nothing happening anymore. Now, passivity is a big problem. Passivity means the fight's gone out of you. Someone's punched you in the belly, given up. He sat down. A lot of people sitting down, not physically, but spiritually. They're no longer standing up. When you're standing up, you're alive in your spirit. Something's going on. But passivity is always the evidence of oppression. You're not proactive. The kingdom of God requires us to be proactive. So when we become passive, something has happened. Passivity is an evidence something is not right. You're under oppression. You're not functioning. You're not designed to be passive. Passive is a person who allows life to happen and they never put up a fight. Remember what Jesus said about Jezebel, I have this against you, you tolerate. You don't put up a fight or resistance. Passive. Passivity is evidence I have given up on the fight, given up on life itself, given up. So passivity is a serious issue. And I notice among Kiwis, a lot of people are incredibly passive. When it comes to worship, there's very little expression. There's very little offering given to God. There's very little vibrant. It's like just more passive. And you can tell that their spirit is shut down. Now, there are. It's right to have times when you're quiet and relaxed. I'm not against that. I do that myself. But you need to activate your spirit and praise before you enter the shutdown, quiet stage where you're not passive, you're listening to engage God and dialogue with God. That's active. All engagements with God are proactive. But when you become passive, something is deeply wrong spiritually and emotionally. And notice then what happens next when he becomes passive. There's no more fight in him. So now he becomes overwhelmed. So when people become passive, that's when all sorts of things happen, you know. When they're passive, it's for some it's their whole way of life. And so there's the dilemma, you see. So when people are isolated, then they're drawn to all kinds of false comforts, to TV. They spend all their eyes on TV, all they're out on social media, or they're out drinking, or they're out doing this. They're actually isolated in pain, and they're trying to find a way to feel better, but there's nothing that will make you feel better. And of course, if you've had a problem in your past that's unresolved of addictions, that addiction will become very strong in that time of isolation, and then there's no more fight. You just people give up and go along with whatever. Passivity means I just give up and go with whatever, go with the flow. Go with the flow? Well, where's the flow going?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Hello, what it is. You see, where's that flow taking you? The flow I want to be in is apostolic flow. I want to be with excitement in God. I want to be where people are alive and on fire for God. That's the flow I want to be in. Go with the flow. Oh, my goodness. So, and the last thing, he's depressed. He sat down under the tree, and then he prayed that he might die. It's enough. I've had enough. Well, I've been there too, just sobbing, crying because it was overwhelming and I was crushed and I couldn't find a way out. And thinking, oh my God, I remember telling God, I told you it was wrong to choose me. I am such a wimp. I can't handle this. I want to just, take me now. But you know, the problem with that prayer is you got all the people that love you, they're going to be devastated and then they'll be attacked. There's just no way out of this thing except you go into God. Every way out like that is a bad way out. And yet that's what he's crying for. Moses cried the same thing. So that tells us this is very real, that deep heaviness and darkness. It's like, I can describe it like this. It's like a deep darkness where you don't even want to know your own thoughts. They're so dark. It's horrendous oppression that comes. Now, unfortunately, there's some prayers God doesn't answer. And one of them is, kill me now! Okay, he doesn't answer that prayer. And so now you notice there that is the progression of a Jezebelic assault. A resistance to what you're doing by someone speaking, criticizing, angrily reacting, and launching against you because they're the voice for something, and a demonic attack out of proportion to what they said and did. Your mind and emotions get filled with fear and you get distorted and can't see clearly anymore. That's the point, you've got to do something. And what he did next was, when he saw that, he ran. He withdrew from his assignment and office and place of empowerment and then started to protect himself from any further harm. Then it got worse. He isolated. Then it got worse. He became totally passive. Then it got worse. He sat down depressed and became suicidal. That is the progression of a demonic Jezebelic attack. I had a pastor, it was a young couple in our church. They went out, they said, oh, pastor, we're coming to our area to plant a church. And here's where we want to plant a church. I said, that's awesome. Come with us. Can we hang out in your church for a while? And I know what that means. You know, eventually there'll be a whole group of people attached to them and they'll go. I thought, well, you know, they're good people. They've got a call. We're not anti that. We'll just love them and help them. So they had a wonderful time. And after about a year, they're having such a good time, they're not looking like they're going to plant a church. And so I went and sat down, had a coffee, said, now listen, God spoke to you, did he not, about planting a church? He said, he did. I said, well, if you stay much longer, you're not going to do that. You've got too comfortable already. You need to now set a date and initiate what God called you to do, or there'll be difficulties come because of that. So they did that, and they went outside the church. Well, it was great for a little while, and it was great. It is a great church and great people. But about 3 months later, Romeo said, can you pray for me? I'm so depressed. I just suicidal. I don't know why I'm like this. I never like that. And I said, oh, I just laughed. I said, oh, welcome to my world. This, you know. Said, did we forget to tell you about demonic attacks when you try and plant a church? I forgot. Did I not tell you about that? Well, let me talk to you about it now. And so we talked with him and told him it's a Jezebelic attack. It will have gone through these stages, and this is where you are. I said, it's just a demon. I'll pray for you, but you've got to step back up and do some things. Told him what to do. Prayed for him. He said, oh, it's cleared. Just like that, it cleared. So I had to pray for him more than once, but finally he got it, and he was fine. Just fine. He knew what to do, and once you've got the victory, you've got the victory, and then it doesn't try that trick on you again. Till a lot later, just a bigger drama, and then the same old thoughts. But you know what to do and step up. You're all right. Get the idea? And I've had others the same thing. Found them in the same place. Because where did Elijah end up? He ends up in a cave. Now, think about this. God shakes the earth. Now, if you're in an earthquake, what does everyone do? They run out of the building. They go outside under the street. They get out of the building. You don't stay in a building in an earthquake. Neither do you stay in a cave. That's a sure recipe to be buried alive. He wouldn't come out. Wouldn't come out with wind. Wouldn't come out with it. He wouldn't come out. No, I'm not coming out. God, you'd virtually have to send the dogs in after him. Bring him out. But God recommissions him. So there's some things that God did that really helped him. And there's some things that can help you. So what are you going to do? Now, I want to show you how Jesus, coming under the same attack, responded completely opposite. The key point when the attack comes is when you're under attack and the fear and confusion comes, that's the point to stand up and do something. If you don't do the thing you need to do at that time, you are in trouble. And so Jesus, when he came under attack, we read it Matthew 27 or 26, somewhere around about 26, verse 36. And it said, Jesus came to a place called Gethsemane, and his disciples said to the disciples, sit here, I'm going to pray. So there you get a key straight away. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Stay here, watch with me. He went a little further, fell on the ground and prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as you will. Then he found them sleeping and said, watch this and pray lest you fall into temptation. Now, here's the key action steps. First thing he did was he recognized what's happening. He said, I'm sorrowful, even to the point of death. He's under enormous demonic attack. He's under enormous spiritual pressure and a tremendous grief and apprehension about the kind of death he's going to die. He is about to face death. Now, that is really scary. And if you knew that you're going to face a horrendous public humiliation and torture to death tomorrow, you would not sleep well. Can I get out of here? I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. That's we want to save ourselves. His first response is to pray. He got into prayer. So first is you recognize what's happening. This is a spiritual attack. I'm under attack by a spiritual power. I need to pray, and I need to make strong prayer my first priority. Do not be passive. Get into praying in tongues. Every day when I was going through my last series of Jezebel attack, which lasted a particularly long time, and I got up every day, and I was up at 5, I would be out there, and I would begin to walk and pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. And I would pray strongly in tongues. I would walk out, you know, and did about a 4K walk, and I'm walking and praying strongly. So I want my spirit to stand up, because strength to stand against something spiritual comes from your spirit. He that prays in an unknown tongue builds himself up. He builds up his spirit. That is no time for weak, mousy tongues. It's no time for that. Arise and pray. Your life and future depend on that. I remember I get up there and I get praying. I remember I was praying so strong in the spirit one day. There's someone walking the other way, and they come near to me, and they fell over. It was a Christian woman, so I knew her, so I didn't stop praying. I just prayed, and she's just going like this, and bush, she's on the ground like that. Now, here's the thing. She felt God. I didn't feel a thing. I'm just feeling a bit sick in my stomach and praying hard. Can my life and future depend on it? And so you pray strong in tongues. Build your prayer life. Make prayer your priority. You must make prayer your priority. Very important that you build strong prayer at that time. And if you know how to pray strongly, you've developed your spirit, you find you can arise at that time. The devil will try and shut your mouth and get you mumbling. Don't mumble, pray strongly. Arise in your spirit. Rise inside, because your spirit will become strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Ghost. And that's where you need to have strength. Get into strong. That's what Jesus, strong prayer. Notice the second thing he did, the third thing he did. First, he recognized it. Second, he prayed strongly. Third, he did was, you notice that he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. So he didn't disconnect. He did not disconnect. He connected. He connected with close friends to tell them how he was feeling and what he was experiencing. He did not isolate. He showed exactly the opposite. You connect with people close to you and say, I'm very distressed. I'm in a lot of turmoil here. I'm suffering and struggling here. Will you stand with me in prayer at this time? I'm going through something that's very big and distressing. That's what he does. He modeled how you handle the situation. That was the very thing Elijah didn't do. He didn't have relationships with people to stand with, and the servant, he abandoned them. I don't know how that servant felt. How's your ministry going? I thought you were following Elijah. Well, I kind of was, but he took off and left me. Just, how was he? Not good. What are you going to do? I don't know. Go home, I suppose. Go fishing. There's always more people in this world. So you notice there, he shared the struggle. I found another thing that's helpful to do is to come and just journal your pain and your struggle before the Lord. In other words, there's a time for strong prayer. There's also time to just come and humble yourself and weep and express what you're feeling and what you're struggling with. Don't ignore your heart. So your spirit is one thing. You strengthen it through prayer. Your heart, you need to express the turmoil and the feelings. Journaling is a very good way of doing that, of talking to God, writing your feelings out, listening for Him, and to prophetically speak back. I found frequently in those times I hear nothing from him. And all that period when I was going through difficulty, I went about 6 months. It was really hard going. Looks like the whole future and the legacy, everything. It was a legacy war. And it like a really difficult time, and there were false prophecies, and there was contention. There were all kinds of stuff. But in the end, I just stuck with the prayer. After it was all over and I got the breakthrough, suddenly one day, the whole atmosphere just shifted. It broke through. I could see clearly what was needed. I took action, stood up, pushed back, and the whole thing just folded and changed. Everyone who had come under that spirit was gone, and we now had a clear path for the future, and our legacy was assured. It was a legacy battle, just like we shared that Jezebel will go for the legacy, the next generation. That's where the warfare comes. And you'd be amazed when there are times of transition in churches how much turmoil goes on at that time. Yeah. There's what's called throne wars. When David was about to hand over, at that point, there was a massive battle of all kinds with two of the sons over the legacy. And he could have lost everything. He could have lost his own life in the middle of it. So that's written to understand that there are times when there are battles and struggles. Could be in the family, could be over the financial legacy and future. There are battles emerge and demons afflict and torment and pressure to try and destroy legacy. It's a legacy battle. After it was all over and things had come right, I remember being in the presence of the Lord one day, and I was just worshiping Him and just praying. And I can see it now. I can see that vision now. And this is what I saw. It just suddenly, like I could see it in a vision like that. I saw my house, my drive, and I saw Jesus standing at the end of my drive. And I watched me walking down that drive and do my prayer walk, 4K, back. And I saw Him waiting with a smile for me, and I saw Him as I began to walk, put His arm around me and walk with me all the way out there and all the way back. Now, during the time, I never felt a thing. He's saying that in the midst of that battle, I was always with you. The other person felt it. That's why she fell over, because she came right past where He was. He was between me and her. Boom, over she goes like that. I felt nothing. But I wept to see He was with me in the turmoil. This was about preparation for another realm of authority in the Spirit. There's a warfare needed to go through to gain authority. He says, don't tolerate Jezebel. If you overcome, I will give you authority. You don't know whether that spiritual attack is all about the legacy you're going to leave behind you and the new realm of ministry God wants to bring you into. See, the next thing he did was he surrendered to the Father's will. There is a surrender. Lord, you know, I want to run from it, but Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I handle this thing? And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And if that means you've got to face up things, if that means you've got to push back, I'm going to do it. So there must be a recognition of what's going on, a willingness to stand up and resist strongly in prayer. And I will show you tomorrow exactly how I prayed, the kinds of way to pray to push back on that spirit. It's not that you have to pray long on that. Mostly you pray and you enter the presence of God. But the warfare part is primarily asserting authority over the spirit and all its work and activities. So you have to do that. We see also that he shared his heart and invited others to stand with him. And then we find then that he yielded to God. God, whatever you want. And I found there is a journey. There's a process in that. And I found when I'm in that process, I come out clean and pure and much better out the other side of it, even though it's a bit of a warfare. The warfare ends in my sanctification increasing. So long as I stay in the battle and don't run. If you run, you go back to your problems. If you run, you'll isolate and the old things will come back. So there's simple keys. How about that? Simple keys. Don't quit. Don't run. Don't hide in the cave. Don't hide in the cave. Don't hide in the cave. There's people here hiding in cave. You just drew back. No one can tell because you're still in church smiling away. Ah, praise the Lord. But inside, you know you drew back because you got such a hiding. Man, I've had such a hiding. I was under the tree just feeling like I'm dying. But once I stood up and prayed in the Spirit and lent into God and did these things, I come out the other side strong and can see clearer. And I realize, how did I ever tolerate that? How did I not see that coming? How did I? Don't go back in those regrets. You say, God, we're going forward now with you. I believe God wants to get some freedom for people tonight. You understand? That story's not written, say, oh, that poor guy ended up in a cave. How bad. Shouldn't have quit. Well, listen, it's written so that others who have had that same kind of pressure come on you could actually learn to recognize it and stand up. So the key point where he lost it was where he didn't stay in his office, where he drew back. So in order, and I had done the same thing. So in order to get back, I had to repent and say, Father, I have tolerated Jezebel's attacks and influence on my life. I repent of every way I have yielded. I repent of drawing back from my assignment and office and responsibility. Now today, I stand up in that office as a child of God, as a leader of the house, as a leader of my household. I stand in that office, and from that office, I come into your presence. How about that? And then I learned from that office, I could then speak with authority. Because if you're not aligned, you've got no ability to power over the devil. So if you're in depression, you've got no victory there. Devil, it won't work. It just doesn't work. You've got to be submitted to God, aligned with God, and out of there comes authority to conquer. It's not rocket science. Okay, so we want to have a time to pray, and we want to minister to people. We're going to get musicians up now. I want to ramp the atmosphere up, and I want to do a few things. The first thing, we've shown you some of the doorways of entrance. So one of the things that you'll need to do, the first we're going to do is we're going to pray strongly in the tongues together. We're going to stir our spirit, man. Second thing I want you to do is examine your heart. If God has convicted you about compromise, tolerating, allowing Jezebel access, I want you in your heart to repent. I don't want you to tell me all the things you did or whatever you're involved in. I want you to just put your heart right with God. You do it through saying, God, this is what I did. I have held bitterness in my heart. I've held anger and resentment. I release forgiveness and I ask you to forgive me. Just do it. Lord, I've been looking at that and I shouldn't be looking at that. I got drawn. Started with something simple and now look at the stuff I'm looking at. I repent. I repent. I want to break all attachments. Well, whatever it is you got hooked up with, whatever it is that you've looked to, you need to repent of it. Repentance is the way you break free of those idols that give demons access, repentance aligns you back with the cross of Christ, where the power of God is released to break idolatry. Stand back up in your office again and decree freedom. So we're going to lead you through it. I'll show you it happening. And then after that, we're going to all begin to make a tremendous shout to the Lord. Getting it? Pray in tongues. Prepare your heart. I lead you in a prayer. We begin to shout to the Lord, and I'll pray an apostolic prayer to release the power of God, break those Jezebel holds, and for deliverance to take place. I'm going to command those spirits to come up that have been hiding inside you. I'm going to call them to come up and come out. So even before anyone lays hands on you, you may find, just let it all go. Don't hold on. Let God deliver you. Let God deliver you. We'll come around, lay hands on people and whatever, but you want to be free. So step up for your freedom. Don't wait for someone. He didn't pray for me. Really? What kind of victim speak is that? That is victim speak. Poor me, I didn't get prayed for. He didn't notice me. That's rejection talking. See, victim speak is, I can't help myself. It's the devil to blame, and I need the man of God to fix me. No, you don't. You need God. And you need to repent of cooperating with the devil. We got the idea? It's not rocket science, is it? It's back to the basics. The cross, the blood, Jesus, and coming back to Him. Amen? Come on, let's get on our feet then, shall we?
Okay, you ready? I want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Now, this is the first thing I want you to do. This morning, I talked about ways or doorways for the enemy to enter in. We talked about generational. Do you have a generational issue? You're going to need to renounce all generational ties. And we talked about occult areas. We talked about sexual sin. We talked about bitterness. We talked about words that are spoken. So whatever it is that spoke to you today, before you do anything more, just repent in your heart if you haven't done already. Bring it to the cross. Bring your personal failures, lacks to the cross. If you have drawn back from your office as a husband, bring it to the cross. Talk to Jesus and repent. If you've drawn back from a ministry God called you to, bring it to the cross. Repent right now. See, we've got to be specific. The sins that are covered are the ones we confess. So I'm always very specific, and God just shows me exactly that entanglement. Oh, He does. Is there something you got to entangle with? Could be alcohol, could be media. It may not seem to be a big deal, but it actually has entangled you and stripped you of wasted your time, stolen your time. Is it something else? Is it pornography? Is it something else? Is it some kind of, you've been into relationships? Whatever it is, just repent of it right now quickly. Because we're going to want to believe God to give you deliverance and a breakthrough. So you must prepare your heart. I always want people to prepare their heart to just come, Jesus, I bring my sin. This is my sin. I bring it to the cross today, to the blood. For your word declares if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from defilement and unrighteousness. You ready? See, as you do it, you'll feel something shift. You'll feel something shift as you do that. It's quite extraordinary what happens. Just do that and prepare your heart. Prepare our heart. Okay. Just keep it light at the back like that. That's good. Okay. And you've done that. Now I'm going to lead you to the next phase. Here's the next phase. I want you to follow me, firstly, in a profession of faith. Because we speak into the spirit realm and make decrees and declarations of our standing with Christ. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer to renounce all agreements with the spirit of Jezebel. We're going to repent of tolerating Jezebel in any kind of way, renounce all agreements with it, and to cut all cords in the spirit that allow communications and power to flow to demons that have troubled us. We're going to command those spirits to go. Okay? And then I want you really to start to pray strong in the spirit. I want you really go for it. And I will pray an apostolic prayer commanding these things to break off your life. Then we'll start to lay hands. The Holy Ghost will come on you about that time. I can feel Him coming now. The presence of God coming. You ready now? Just follow me in this prayer. Are we ready now? I lead you in the prayer. You all begin to pray the prayer after me. After that, you all begin to pray strongly in the tongues and push back on the spirit realm. God will come on your life. Are you ready? Follow me now. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I declare Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ from every generational curse, from all witchcraft, from every Jezebelic hold, an assignment against me. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the living God. Lord, tonight, I renounce all agreements with the spirit of Jezebel. I repent of tolerating Jezebel. I renounce all agreements, conscious and unconscious, with the Queen of Heaven. I cut and break all cords and chains that empower demonic spirits and assignments against me. I bind all communications in the demonic realm against me. I speak to Jezebel and all the spirits that serve her. Go from my life. Go from my life. Go from my life. Now in Jesus' name, I stand again in my authority as a child of God. I stand again in my office and assignment. And I receive again a fresh empowering of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your voice right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak into the spirit world. I speak to you, Jezebel. I speak from my apostolic office. I bind the spirit of Jezebel. I bind all demonic cords and chains and communications. I break them, I cut them, I cut them. I break all communications among demons. I decree today all obstructions, all hindrances removed. I command demonic spirits to go. Jezebel, Jezebel, come up, come out, come up, come out. Every tormenting spirit, come up. Manifest yourself. Reveal yourself. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Murray. Murray. Come on up. Let's pray. Listen. Come on up. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, come. Now. 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 Loose in Jesus. Loose. Loose in Jesus' name. Joy. Joy. Come and come and pray. Ministry team. Come and lay hands on people now. Come on. Keep praying in the Spirit. Receive all you have for me. Holy Spirit, come now. Touch me. Lord, touch me. Let me feel your love surround my heart. Heal the wounds caused by Jezebel. Heal the wounds of rejection, the wounds of betrayal, the wounds of failure, the wounds of shame. Lord, touch me and heal me. I receive your love right now. Come. Touch, touch, touch. Holy Spirit. Father, when the prodigal son returned and you saw him, you were moved with compassion and ran to him and you hugged him and kissed him and welcomed him and restored him. Father, come and minister your love to broken hearts here tonight. Come and touch people. Just as your hands are lifted, just fix your mind on that verse. You're the son, you're the daughter, and your father is running to meet you. His countenance filled with joy. You've returned. You've returned. You've come back into intimacy. Father in heaven loves people. He loves you. Lord, I'm asking that a heavy presence of your love start to flow right now. I release the Father's love over lives right now. I release the Father's love. One, two, three. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. It's your presence. Welcoming, embracing, loving, caring. Oh, we love you, Lord. More, Lord. Increase your presence. Increase your presence. Let the angels of the Lord fill this place now. Come, you angels of the Lord, you ministers of His that do His pleasure. Come. Come into our midst. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning the atmosphere of Jezebelic attacks and defilement. Thank you for your love filling our hearts. Oh, we love you and honor you. Jesus, we fix our eyes upon you. At the cross, you represented me. You took my shame. You took my sorrow. You took my grief. You took my injustice. You took my rejection. You took all word curses I've experienced. You took my sin, the times I've fallen short. You took my transgressions, the times I deliberately disobeyed. You took my iniquity, that part in me that resists you. You took every curse so I might be blessed. Jesus, I bow my head and honor you. My elder brother, the coming King, my King. I give you the honor. I give you the glory. I love you. I love you. I love you. Lord, you were attacked by Jezebel, suffered abuse at the hands of religious leaders, but you showed how to overcome it. I love you. You live in me. You have made me a child of God. You have appointed me as your representative. You have anointed me to be an overcomer. Today I honor you, Jesus. Today, Lord, I thank you for calling me, for the assignment you've given me. I stand again in that assignment. I stand again in that office, and I surrender to fulfill it faithfully. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to me. Oh, I can feel the presence of God coming so strongly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's okay to just weep in his presence. We need to learn how to move with the flows of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's aggressive and warrior-like and warlike, and sometimes it's very peaceful, and sometimes it's full of the love of God. And I find when that happens, I just begin to weep. Some of you need healing right now. And those of you need healing, lay hands on the part of your body that needs healing. Reach out to Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over every infirmity, every spirit of infirmity. I see you and bind you and command you to go now. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Spirit of infirmity, go, 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 go. I break now every cord attaching you to Jezebel. I break every cord that is a source of power and strength for your work. I break it now and I command you to come out and depart. I command bodies to be healed, the mind to be made clear. I command all COVID fog to go. I command for clarity of mind. I command throats to be healed. I command stomachs and digestive systems be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. I speak into joints in the body. I command pain in the joints of the body. I command you to go. Shoulder joints, hip joints, knee joints, wrists. I command healing. I command arthritis to go. I command all arthritis to go. I command cancers to go. I speak to every cancer. I curse you in Jesus' name. Spirit of cancer, I command you to go. I command the cancer, the growth, to wither and die and be cast out in Jesus' name. I speak into blood systems. I command blood systems to be restored to normal again. I command nervous systems to come to rest in Jesus' name. I command the areas of sleep. I command sleep patterns to be restored in Jesus' name. We command nervous systems on high alert to come down into their proper condition and position. We command them to come to a place of rest and peace. We command sleep patterns to be restored. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I bless this people. I bless them with peace. I bless them with health. I bless them with strength and boldness. In Jesus' mighty name. We speak into backs. I command backs to be healed. I command hips to be healed. I command healing to flow into the area of hip joints. I command healing to flow into the lower back, into the upper back. Thank you, Lord. We command kidneys to be healed and to function correctly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence.